Bill, you remember the day when you were back in school.
Oh, absolutely, sure.
Did you find it sometimes it was difficult to pay attention?
Some days more than others, sure.
Were you very good at reading and remembering things?
I was, yeah.
I was not.
Yeah, it's not for everybody.
It is a difficult way to learn for me, but everybody learns differently. And there is a new documentary talking about an alternative to the way we learn. It's called Most Likely to Succeed. It debuted at the Sundance Film Festival to rave reviews, and the executive producer, Ted Dintersmith, in the studio with us. Hi, Ted.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We were watching the trailer. I have not yet seen the full film, and me, along with everyone else, can see it tonight at 6:30 at Venue 610, 610 South Michigan Avenue. And what time should you get there?
I'd say 6:10.
Those are the three numbers you want to remember, 6, 1, and 0. Those are key to this equation.
For today.
Okay,
good. And that's easy to remember when it's just three numbers. But when I was talking about learning, every kid learns differently, don't they?
They do. And although in school, you're often not encouraged to learn differently.
Absolutely, because then you are singled out a lot of times as a troublemaker, or you have to stick to what the cookie cutter mold.
Yeah, and I'm visiting lots of schools, and the stories about kids marked wrong for not doing it the way that was taught. So a kid comes up with a creative different way, and instead of celebrating it, they're penalized. That's what's going on in our schools.
They make a point in the movie, and Most Likely to Succeed, to say that the structure by which we have our school system was developed well over 100 years ago, when we learned something, how we learned something, but it's time to change that a little bit.
And I think it's important. One of the points we stress is it's not an issue with the teachers. I find dedicated, innovative teachers everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's the model we've saddled them with, and then the policies we've imposed to determine whether schools are doing well or not. And we're really setting our kids on a path to fail instead of succeed. We're driving our best teachers out of the profession.
I was talking to, I have a seventh grader and a junior in high school, and I was talking to them about the multiplication tables. Bill and I had discussed this. I learned them. You had to learn them. My seventh grader knows them pretty well. My high schooler isn't as quick as he should be, but there are ways in which we learned before where you memorize all these things, but we have to realize that there's an iPhone in every kid's hand. There are calculators you have to buy. Some of these things are not as important as they were in the past. How do I phrase that? And would I be correct?
Yeah, and I think I'm a math person. So do I think every kid should feel pretty confident on low number count math multiplication? I do. Should we encourage them whatever way works best to learn how to multiply? Absolutely. The problem is, and this is where it turns up, is in third grade, they will give kids some 100 numbers to multiply. If you're fast at that, you are a gifted math kid. If you're slow at it, you're not. Well, it has nothing to do with math capability. It has to do with agility at a very low level procedure. And so we're telling a lot of kids that have real creative and conceptual math potential, you're not good at math. And we're telling a lot of kids, just because you're fast at multiplying numbers together, you're gifted. Well, that's nonsense.
That's true. And I'm pretty good at math, and I've memorized all my multiplication tables. But when a pizza guy comes to the door and I have to think on the fly to figure out a tip, I don't do it quickly, but I can do it.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I think there are other people like that as well.
And if you're low, you get help from the pizza guy.
I know math because of baseball, because I figured out batting averages. So I know if you succeed 3 out of 11 times, you're a 270 hitter. Yeah. I convert everything through baseball.
But that's a creative way of doing it, isn't it?
It's a creative way. And it's a missed opportunity in our schools. The amount of real learning that we could have kids engage in through sports, whether it's math or science, or when I coach baseball and soccer, I had my kids come up with their team constitution. How do we make decisions on this team? Am I the dictator, or do you want a voice in it? And if you have a voice, how do we want to organize for that? Parents initially thought I was nuts, but then they'd come 10 years later, parents will say that was the best experience my kid ever had.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I was telling Bill off the air when I went to high school, Riverside Brookfield High School, we had two types of history class. We had one, which was your basic history class, and one was called SEMSEN, Seminar Centered, with smaller groups. One time you would be watching movies of the war. And I said to Bill, you know, I sometimes wonder if maybe I didn't learn as much because it wasn't like a school setting. But then I thought back about it. I just wasn't that interested in history back then.
Yeah.
Because it's a great way to learn.
Yeah. I mean, you were not in school that long ago, but those are the lessons that stick with you, is the ones, SimSen. I mean, I wish I were in something like that, where you engage and you debate each other.
Discussions, lots
and,
of them.
You know, one of the issues we go after in our film is AP history. AP U.S. history goes from 1491 to the present day. 2 days on the Civil War, 2 days on World War II. It's a laundry list of facts that kids have to memorize. And when people say, oh, this content's really essential, I always point them to Google Texas Tech Civil War. You'll see a journalist ask kids on the Texas Tech campus, who won the Civil War?
Oh,
kid
no.
after kid after kid doesn't know.
Oh, no.
They all covered it in high school, but just covering something quickly doesn't mean anybody's learned it.
Go ahead, Bill.
Realistically, is your average school equipped to teach both ways? If we started, because these programs seem like it's a great, great thing, but if you said starting today, every school has the ability to teach the old-fashioned way and the way that they propose in the movie, could a school do that?
Schools are doing it, but there's a really important aspect to how. I think if somebody from Washington, D.C. or Springfield says to a school, you will do X, that will fail every time. And that's what we've done. What we're seeing with our film is schools watch it, and then what they say is, which teachers are interested in teaching differently? Which students are interested in learning differently? Self-select, volunteer, create and invent your own program. Mm-hmm. And schools are doing that in weeks, not years, not decades, weeks. They will set in place a new program. Nobody's being told to do something they don't want to know, but I'll tell you, they don't want to do. But there are so many innovative teachers out there just dying to teach the ways they were passionate about when they entered the profession.
Yeah.
And over, teachers tell me, I'm a big fan of teachers, but they'll tell me each morning I get up, I ask myself the question, should I do today what is in the best interest of my students, or should I do what I'm being told from afar has to be done in the class? And they are not the same.
What about the metric system that they remember, Bill, when we were in school? You've got to learn this. You've got to learn this. We are going to do away with inches and feet. Where'd that go?
Where'd that go? Great question. And, you know, but it's a perfect example, right? It's a low-level procedure. It's not high-level thinking. And we get all bollocksed up in this. And now, you know, we're probably a year or two away from, you know, having smartphones where you just take a picture of something in the English system, it'll immediately convert to metric. And that's probably even an app that's there today. I mean, it wasn't essential, you know, but we fool ourselves. But it broadened that to beyond metric. Look at how we evaluate kids' reading skills. It's largely based on breadth of vocabulary. If a kid doesn't know obstreperous, they are clearly a kid with lower potential than a kid that does. It's just not true, right? But it penalizes certain kids and it rewards kids in the, you know, type A, two-income, well-educated parent families on grounds that really are not aligned with anything important in life.
Ted Dindersmith is here. He's our guest. The documentary we're referring to is called Most Likely to Succeed. They can see this movie tonight at 6:10. Give all the information again, Ted.
Yeah, it's at Venue 6:10 right here downtown. The snow does not look to be anywhere near like what they predicted
yesterday. It's not going
to
be bad here in the city.
I'll be there if that is. I hope that helps encourage
somebody. That will encourage people to come.
May send people away in droves.
No.
But we've got a great group here, A Better Chicago. You know, that's what I find when I travel across the country. I've been to 41 states since September. Mm-hmm. I'm meeting with governors, commissioners of education, state legislators. There are these incredible civic-minded groups that have a cross-section of people that want desperately to prepare kids for the world kids will live in the future, not the world we grew up in the past.
Right.
And so A Better Chicago, they've been really energetic and have pulled together this event for tonight. And I'm super excited to be here.
Let's talk more about this after the break. If you'd like to jump in with questions or comments, 312-981-7200. We'll get that done. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Ted Dindersmith is here talking about a great documentary, Most Likely to Succeed. It's about a whole new way of learning, showing tonight at 6:30 at Venue 610. That's at 610 South Michigan Avenue. You can also check out more at abetterchicago.org/events if you'd like some tickets.
Ted, Most Likely to Succeed is the name of the documentary, and it highlights a school called High Tech High. Is that a real school?
It's a real school. We started filming at a dozen schools, and so the film team just gravitated toward these two students at this particular school and captured a story that really is a bit like lightning in the bottle, because it's a great story as it plays out.
And we have a caller who wants to talk to you. Jennifer works at a project-based school. I don't even know what that means, Jennifer.
Hi, first-time caller. Love, love, love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to me. Actually, my daughter goes to, it's a project-based school. So if you have an English class, you're coming up with an idea, and you can present this as a song, a play, a film. Each class, you know, you can present your project anyway, because some students, you know, are better at presenting their material a different way than others. Kids sit around tables and lots of discussions. There are no such thing as chairs and rows at the school. I love it, and my daughter loves it too.
So these are done in a group. This is never done individually. It's always done as a group, the project?
No, the individually or in a group.
Oh, either way. Interesting. Ted, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I love the. I mean, I'd actually love to visit the school, but it sounds like a great experience.
I'd love for you to. Yes, we'd love it.
The point I make is, if somebody just hears us discussing this on air, they'd say, I think many people would say, well, that sounds like a great summer camp experience. I think what you see watching your child and what people see when they watch our film is that the degree of real learning going on there is dramatically more advanced than what they see in a traditional school. And so these kids are getting good at, you know, doing things and organizing projects and working with each other. And so they're developing this whole set of skills that just don't go away.
And skills that they can use in the outside world, what's expected of them really in the real world, not here's a worksheet and you've got to do this. It's, hey, you go to your job and the boss asks you to do something, and now here you're going to present it. So
sounds like a great school.
Fantastic.
Do you want
it's
to mention
fantastic.
It on the air? And
I'd love to. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's called Ideas Academy. It's in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Ted Hamm is the founder and principal, and he's got a couple other schools, an elementary and a middle school. And a lot of people, when I mention that my child goes here, it's like, oh, it's like, it's not for troubled kids. It's for
but
kids.
But that's
that
what
are
everybody
creative.
Thinks. There are a lot of people who think, oh, it's an alternative school. These children have issues and they can't learn the regular way. It's tough to learn the regular way in this time.
I agree.
We have an anecdote in our film from a school in Princeton, New Jersey, Lawrenceville Academy, that most people think is amazing. And I'm sure there are aspects there that are amazing. But they retested their kids who came back in the fall on courses they took and did really well in the school year before. Their grade went from a B+ to an F. They had retained essentially nothing after 3 months. But this caller's child, that child, when they come back in the fall, they still can do things. And actually, what's life about? Life's about doing things. And so I think one of the fights we have to fight is to have people realize this isn't alternative. This is so aligned with life that these are the types of experiences that really bring out the best in kids. And the kids find really interesting.
And they want to go to school. Jennifer, hang on 1 second. Kevin, if you could get her information. Ted Dintersmith in the studio with us, the executive producer for Most Likely to Succeed, a documentary that everyone should see tonight. We'll give you all the details. If you'd like to contact her and maybe visit that school, we'll get her number for you.
Excellent.
Ideally, Ted, should this play out in grade school, high school, and college?
Well, you see a lot of this in the early grades before we try to get serious
right.
about school.
Right.
It really should be. It's just the perfect on-ramp to life.
Yeah.
And so I think I was in Fort Wayne earlier this week. I've gone everywhere. And this guy gets up, big burly guy. He could play defensive line for the Chicago Bears. 10-year policeman.
Is he clumsy?
I still remember the refrigerator. He's 10-year policeman now teaching kindergarten. He showed me videos. He's got these kids doing 3D printing, learning CAD tools, designing prosthetic hands. And you just look at this, you say, oh my gosh, these kids at age 6 are doing the most amazing things.
Yeah, sure.
And then you just think, if that were school for kids, you know, not just in the making things, but as she described, history essays, doing really thought-provoking essays that you iterate on, these kids would come out of high school light years ahead where our best college graduates come out today.
Yeah.
And then you just have to scratch your head and say, if the only reason we're not doing this is it's inconvenient for the standardized test companies, is that a good enough reason to ruin the lives of millions of kids?
Yeah.
Is that a good enough reason to make life for a teacher miserable? And I argue, I say, it's time to put our kids and our teachers ahead of the standardized test designers.
Mm-hmm.
There has been so much anxiety and depression in younger and younger kids, and a lot of that comes from all the homework that is given to these children. And there's something that I learned about because of my youngest son. It's called school refusal. I never heard anything about it. People say just go to school, but sometimes they get so stressed out, they don't want to go to school. And with something like this, this type of learning, the way of learning, makes them, they can't wait to get to school the next day, I bet.
That and one step further, because, you know, I have a little bit different take on the stress issue. I always say to audiences, tell me something important you did. Did you get there without feeling some level of stress? If we do something we believe in that's hard, we will feel stress. Seeing that we didn't get into the film, and there were a lot. We filmed 600 hours to turn it into 90 minutes. But they interviewed the students during the day. They said, do you like your school? We love our school. What do you like best about it? One of the things they say is we have no homework. They then follow them home at night. They're filming them at 10:30 at night, working intensely on things. They say, wait a minute. I thought you said earlier you have no homework. The kids look at the director. They look at the camera and say, this isn't homework. We want to do this.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
And it's that issue. It's kids are like people. They're like teachers, like, you know, people that do radio, great radio talk shows. Give somebody something to work on they believe in, they have a say in, and they think is important. Mm-hmm. They blow you away with what they can do. Give you a stack of worksheets where when you ask, when will I ever use it? The best you can say, probably never, but it helps you build grit. You know, why? Kids are, they make good calls. They say, this is boring. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
There's a thing called a binder check at our school, and you have to turn in a binder, and I'm sorry. I am so unorganized, disorganized, whatever. You can look at my desk, my home. I would never have been able to turn that in, and it's a huge part of their grade. That yeah. stuff that, how's that going to help them? Again, people learn differently.
Yeah. Now, there's something interesting going on. I'll plug this because I'm one of their supporters, but there's a new initiative that will be live next year called the Coalition for Access. And the reason I mention it is that the Dean of Admissions at University of Chicago is the chair of it, Jim Nondorf. And it's a alternative way for kids to apply to college, and they're going to be offering digital portfolios where kids, instead of doing mindless worksheets and just having a bunch of numbers, can start showing really great ambitious projects they take on that they persevered on,
yeah.
failed multiple times, and delivered something they're really proud of. And colleges, there are 90 colleges that are now part of this coalition.
Really?
And they're saying, man, college admissions has a heavy hand in ruining high school experiences for kids. No question.
Bill, what were you telling me? Your neighbor had like a perfect ACT.
Yeah, got the perfect score on an ACT, applied to two colleges, couldn't get into either of the two with a perfect ACT.
But there's, a disconnect here. I think college admissions officers are looking for kids with some level of authenticity, and an experienced officer can see it.
Right.
I don't know this child. I don't know this situation.
Right.
But often I find kids are, I run into families that have their kid working with an SAT tutor in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Fourth grade.
Oh, my God.
And you think about that. And so, sure, that kid over time will get 800, or will get a 36.
Right.
But what gets hollowed out of that kid in the process?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so college admissions officer, and I think the Coalition for Access is particularly inspiring because it's sort of saying we are looking for a different set of things from our kids.
Yep.
Coalition for Access.
Yeah, if you just Google that, I mean, its technical name is Coalition for Access, Success, and Affordability, or Affordability. It's a long name, but if you just Google Coalition for Access, you'll find it.
We'll talk to somebody about that for next year when that goes into effect. I'd love to find out about that. Ted Dintersmith, he's the executive producer. Most Likely to Succeed is the documentary. Go tonight, 6:30 at Venue 610 South Michigan Avenue. Do they need to pre-register? What do they need to do?
I think they can do that online. And if they can't get in, I will talk to them while the film's playing, and they'll get just as good a time.
Oh, all right, good.
But I'm sure that, it's with the weather, I'm sure it'll be fine. So,
if they can't go tonight, are there other places? What if an administrator or a teacher's listening and wants to find out more and how to get this into their schools?
Sure. Our website is www.mltsfilm.org, like Most Likely to Succeed Film.org, or just Google documentary Most Likely to Succeed. Right in the middle of the homepage is Host a Screening. We have a great discussion guide. We're getting 200 requests a week from schools all over the country.
Tremendous. Jeez. Good, good. Ted,
thank
great
you.
To see you.
Thank you so much for being here.
That's Ted Dintersmith. We're going to take a quick break. Steve with the news, and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.